Well, I want you to think about some dangerous situations and what sort of person would help you to feel safe. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Help, I'm drowning. Now, what sort of person would help you feel safe if you were in that situation? What do you think? I think a lifeguard would help me feel safe if I was ever in that situation. Ready for the next one? Okay, how's this? I've been captured by a supervillain. Now, if you're in that situation, what sort of person would help you to feel safe? What do you think? I think a superhero would help me to feel safe if I was ever captured by a supervillain. How about this one? Help, my pet is poorly. Do you have a pet? Do you have a dog or a cat or a hamster or some other pet? If your pet was poorly, what would help you to feel safe? What sort of person? I think a vet would, wouldn't they? They could help you, help your pet. One more, how about this one? Help, I'm being attacked by a Sith Lord. Now, what kind of person would help you feel safe if you were ever in that kind of situation? Well, I think a Jedi Knight would help me to feel safe. Now, think about it. Think of all those examples. I know some of them are a bit silly, but think about those kinds of dangerous situations and those different kinds of people that help us to feel safe. Why would those sorts of people help us feel safe in those situations? Why would they? I think there are two reasons why those sorts of people would help us to feel safe. Firstly, they are willing to help us. They're willing to help us. They care enough and they're interested enough to help us. So they're willing to help. But secondly, they're also able to help. They've got the power, the ability to help us in those situations. Now, we need both of those things to be true, don't we? If we're going to feel safe in those dangerous situations. You know, if someone is able to help us, but they're not really willing to, that doesn't help us feel safe, does it? And equally, if someone is willing to help, but they're not really able to do anything, that doesn't help us feel safe, does it? We need both those things to be true. To feel safe in a dangerous situation, we need someone who is both willing and able to help us. Well, in today's true story from the Bible, we're going to hear about a dangerous situation that the disciples of Jesus were in. And we're going to see how they respond to that situation, how Jesus responds, and thirdly and finally, how we should respond to Jesus. Now, as we hear about this story, as we hear it read for us, and as we think about it together, I want us to consider three really important questions this morning. First of all, why were the disciples so afraid? Why were the disciples so afraid in this situation? Secondly, how does Jesus help them? How does Jesus help them? And thirdly, how should we respond to Jesus in the light of this? How should we respond to Jesus? Those are the three questions I want us to think about together as we read this story, as we think about this story together. So our Bible reading, where we find this true story, is in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 8. And one of our younger people, Chen Vale, is going to read the passage for us. Matthew chapter 8, and she's going to read from verse 23 to 27.
Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. It was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
So the first lesson from this story is that the disciples were afraid because they felt unsafe. The disciples were afraid because they felt unsafe. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say, you know, life isn't always plain sailing. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Life isn't always plain sailing. Well, plain sailing is when you're in a boat and you're sailing along and the water is smooth and the conditions are calm. Sometimes life feels like that. Everything's going smoothly. You know, everything's calm and peaceful in your life. But life isn't always like that, is it? Sometimes it's not plain sailing, but rough sailing. Sometimes life can feel like you're in a storm. You know, the thunder's rumbling, the lightning is flashing, and the wind is howling. Things aren't going smoothly. They're bumpy. They aren't calm. They feel threatening and unstable. Well, that's exactly how the disciples felt one day as they were sailing across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is actually a lake, and it's surrounded by high hills, and it's well known for storms suddenly appearing. The cold air can come down those high hills and hit the warm air over the lake, and suddenly stormy winds can appear. Well, that's what happened one day while the disciples were sailing across the lake with Jesus in the boat. We read it, didn't we, in Matthew chapter 8. Jesus got into a boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came on the lake so that the waters swept over the boat. It's a frightening picture, isn't it? Frightening scene. A storm came suddenly. Now, whenever anything happens suddenly, it can be frightening, can't it? Scary. I don't know if you've ever been sitting, you know, really concentrating on something and someone kind of creeps up behind you. You know, they're coming up behind you quietly and it can make you really jump in fear if they appear suddenly. Well, this storm came suddenly out of nowhere. And it's described, isn't it, as a furious storm. Now, you know what that means, don't you? If someone is furious, it means they're really angry, you know, even violent. Do you ever get furious? You know, if all the biscuits have been eaten by Dad, or, you know, if you've got a brother, if he won't ever get off the Xbox, or if you've got a sister, you know, she won't stop whining. Or maybe, you know, you're trying to clear up and tidy up in the house and you're fed up because the kids have left old socks and old pants on the bedroom floor for the 100th time. Makes you furious. Well, this storm, it wasn't mildly irritated. It wasn't a little bit grumpy. It was furious. This was a powerful, violent and unpredictable storm. And it was causing the waves of the sea to crash over the boat, threatening to sink it and to drown everyone in it. Now, most of the disciples were experienced fishermen. They were used to storms at sea. But they knew in this moment that their lives were in danger. And they were terrified. Why were they so afraid? Because they didn't feel safe. They were in a dangerous situation and they were afraid because they didn't feel safe. They weren't sure if anyone could save them and help them in this situation. Now, it's striking, isn't it, what Jesus is doing while all this commotion was happening. Do you remember what it said? A furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. That sounds extraordinary, doesn't it? They're in the middle of a furious storm, but Jesus is sleeping. And this trip across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, it would have only taken about an hour. So it's not like they were going on a really long car journey, you know, and feeling sleepy. Now, this reveals something really important about Jesus. He was exhausted. We sometimes forget that Jesus, he has a real human nature. He got tired like we do. He was thinking about it, you know, he was so busy traveling around and teaching and healing and helping people. He was worn out. He was so tired he could sleep through a storm. Do you ever feel like that? Ever feel that tired? Well, Jesus can sympathize with our tiredness. I remember several years ago, a previous church member, Debs Condy, was telling me about the time when she was training to be a doctor and working in the hospital and working really long hours. She got so tired that she said she fell asleep in the cinema at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. If you know that film, it begins with a really loud battle scene with soldiers storming the beaches of Normandy. Well, Debs was so tired, she slept through it all. Well, this storm is raging on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is sleeping. But the disciples, they are terrified. And in their fear and feeling unsafe, they shake Jesus, they wake him up, and they cry out to him, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" They're panicking. They're afraid for their lives. And yet, who is it who's in the boat with them? The Lord Jesus. Now, they seem to know enough about Jesus. They've been with him long enough. They've witnessed enough to look to him, to cry to him for help. They say, "Lord, save us." But they clearly don't know enough about him to feel safe, to feel unafraid. Think about it. You know, I think they'd seen enough of his miracles, his power and his authority, to know that he was able to do something, that he was able, he had the power to save them in some way. But maybe they felt unsafe because they weren't sure if he was really willing to save them. Just a little bit earlier in this same chapter, in Matthew chapter 8, just near the beginning of Matthew 8, there's another incident. Actually, it's an incident that Phil preached on a couple of weeks ago, where a man with leprosy came to Jesus and said, can you remember? "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." That man, he knew enough about Jesus to believe that Jesus had the power, the ability to heal his leprosy. But he wasn't sure whether Jesus was willing. Well, I think something similar may be going on here with the disciples in this storm. Because they didn't despair, did they? They didn't simply just despair in fear at the storm. They cried out to Jesus to save them. They must have believed that he was able to do something. But clearly, they doubted that he was willing to do something, that he was willing to save them, or they wouldn't have been so afraid, would they? In fact, in Mark's gospel, in a parallel account of this story, Mark, it tells us what some of them were saying. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" You see, they were afraid. They didn't feel safe because they weren't sure whether Jesus really cared and was willing to save them. This shows us they still didn't fully understand who Jesus really is. Now, we can feel threatened, can't we? And when we're threatened in life by dangerous situations, we can feel afraid and unsafe if we don't think that there's anyone who's willing or able to save us and help us. Some of us this morning, we may believe that Jesus is able to save us, but we might doubt whether he is willing to. Or we may believe that he is willing, but doubt that he is able. Well, like the disciples, we need to understand who Jesus is. Then we will not be so afraid. And this brings us to our second lesson from the story. The second lesson is that Jesus showed he was willing and able to save. Jesus showed he was willing and able to save. The disciples respond to this storm in fear, desperately crying out to Jesus to do something to save them. But how does Jesus respond? Verse 26, he replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Jesus responds to this situation with two rebukes, one to the disciples and one to the storm. Do you know that word rebuke? It's quite an unusual word, isn't it? It sounds a bit like something that you might come across in a fantasy novel like Lord of the Rings, you know, and Gandalf rebuked the fire-breathing dragon. Rebuke. Well, to rebuke simply means to tell someone off. It means to challenge and to correct someone. Now, a rebuke can be spoken in an unkind and a harsh way. But it doesn't have to be. A rebuke can be said in a loving way, a caring way, in a way that wants the best for the person who is being rebuked. You know, when a parent or a teacher or a pastor or a friend challenges you in some way, not to harm you, but to help you. They want to say something to you for your good. Well, that's exactly what Jesus does here with the disciples. He challenges them over their lack of faith that is being revealed in their fear of the storm. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" he says. In Mark's gospel, Mark expresses it, records it in a blunter way, as often as his style. "Do you still have no faith? After all you've seen and heard, do you still not know who I am? Do you still not believe that I'm both willing and able to save you? Why are you so afraid?" They shouldn't have been so afraid. Not of this storm in the sea, because Jesus was with them in the boat. If they'd only understood who Jesus is, they wouldn't have been so afraid. They're still working out who he is, aren't they? They're listening to his teaching and they're seeing his miracles. But it's going to take them some time to really understand who he is. In fact, it won't be until after his resurrection that they fully grasp who he is. The eternal Son of God, the creator of the universe and the savior of the world. At this point in time, as they sit in this boat in the middle of a storm, their faith is weak. They don't fully trust that they are safe with Jesus. And that's why they're so afraid. So Jesus, in love, he rebukes them. He challenges them to understand who he is and to put their trust in him. And to help them, Jesus rebukes the storm, his second rebuke. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. He commanded the storm to stop, and it did. Mark records his actual words to the storm: "Quiet, be still." And as suddenly as it appeared, so it immediately stopped and became calm. Jesus demonstrated in that moment that he was both willing and able to save them. Now, this story is familiar to many of us, but we should never cease to be amazed by what Jesus did. He spoke to a storm and told it to stop, and it immediately obeyed him. It's an amazing moment. Now, we come across this sort of thing in the Old Testament, but it's always God and God alone who has the power and authority to command the wind and the waves. We see it in passages like Psalm 65. "You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves." We see it again in Psalm 89. "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, you are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea, and when its waves mount up, you still them." Of course, the most striking example in the Old Testament is that psalm we read at the beginning, Psalm 107. "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." Jesus calming the storm helps us understand who he really is. He was and is a real man who was so tired he slept through a storm. But he is no ordinary man. He is the God-man, God in the flesh, the creator and saviour of the world. This is who he is. And this brings us to our third and final lesson from this story. And it's about how we respond to Jesus. How should we respond to Jesus? Well, the third lesson is we should not be afraid, but trust in Jesus. We should not be afraid, but trust in Jesus. After Jesus rebuked the storm and it grew calm, the disciples respond with wonder and amazement. It says in verse 27, the men were amazed and they asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Mark puts it like this. He says, "In fear and amazement, they asked one another, 'Who is this?'" What they've just witnessed leaves them in fear and awe of Jesus. He's just done something that no man has ever done. He's just done something that only God can do. It leaves them gobsmacked. You can imagine with their jaws open, sort of gasping and saying to one another, "Who is this? What kind of man is this?" Before, they were afraid of the storm. Now, they're afraid of Jesus. But it's a different kind of fear, a reverent fear. It doesn't drive them away from Jesus. It causes them to gaze at him in amazement. Now, it's still going to be some time before they fully grasp who he is. But this calming of the storm, this saving them from danger, it helps them take a step closer to knowing who he really is. Now we have heard this story, this true story. This is a historical account of real events, remarkable as they are. It's a record of eyewitness testimony. And the gospel writers, they wrote these things not simply to record history, but to reveal who Jesus is, so that we would believe and put our trust in him. As we read on to the end of Matthew's gospel, we see Jesus died on the cross for all our sins, for everything that is wrong in our lives. And he rose again in a resurrection body to prove that he is both Lord and Saviour. Jesus is both willing and able to save us. So how will we respond to him? Will we believe and put our trust in him? Will we trust him to save us, not simply from a storm at sea, but from sin and death? We will face many dangers and threats in this life. It won't always be plain sailing. We'll go through storms, and sooner or later, these frail bodies of ours will die. But the good news this morning is we need not be afraid. If we are trusting in Jesus, then he will be with us and he will save us. He may not still every storm, but he'll be with us. He'll bring us through the storms safely into his glory. So let us not be afraid, but put our trust in Jesus. And then we can sing like the hymn writer, "Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near, and for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm." Amen.